Section 2. The Early Battles. An American Story. On June 4, 1942, Lieutenant Commander James Thatch climbed into his F-4F Wildcat fighter plane. Thatch knew that the Japanese Zero fighter planes were better than his Wildcat. To improve his chances against them, he had developed a new tactic he called the Thatch Weave. At the Battle of Midway, he had his first chance to try it. So we boarded our planes. All of us were highly excited and admittedly nervous. A very short time after, Zero fighters came down on us. I figured there were 20. The air was like a beehive, and I wasn't sure that anything would work. And then my weave began to work. I got a good shot at 2 Zeros and burned them. Then Ram, my wingman, radioed, "There's a Zero on my tail." I was really angry then. I was mad because my poor little wingman had never been in combat before, and the Zero was about to chew him to pieces. I probably should have ducked under the Zero, but I lost my temper and decided to keep my fire going into him so he'd pull out. He did, and I just missed him by a few feet. I saw flames coming out of his airplane. This was like playing chicken on the highway with two automobiles headed for each other, except we were shooting at each other as well. Quoted in The Pacific War Remembered. Holding the line against Japan. While officers like James Thatch developed new tactics to fight the Japanese, the commander of the United States Navy in the Pacific, Admiral Chester Nimitz, began planning operations against the Japanese Navy. Although the Japanese had badly damaged the American fleet at Pearl Harbor, they had missed the American aircraft carriers, which were at sea on a mission. The United States had several carriers in the Pacific, and Nimitz was determined to use them. In the days just after Pearl Harbor, however, he could do little to stop Japan's advance into Southeast Asia. The Fall of the Philippines. A few hours after they bombed Pearl Harbor, the Japanese attacked American airfields in the Philippines. 2 days later, Japanese troops landed in the islands. The American and Filipino forces defending the Philippines were badly outnumbered. Their commander, General Douglas MacArthur, decided to retreat to the Bataan Peninsula. Using the peninsula's rugged terrain, MacArthur's troops held out for more than 3 months. Gradually, the lack of supplies, along with diseases such as malaria, scurvy, and dysentery, took their toll. Realizing MacArthur's capture would demoralize the American people, President Roosevelt ordered the general to evacuate to Australia. In Australia, MacArthur made a promise, "I came through and I shall return." On April 9, 1942, the weary defenders of Bataan finally surrendered. Nearly 78,000 prisoners of war were forced to march, sick, exhausted, and starving, 65 miles, or 105 kilometers, to a Japanese prison camp. Thousands died on this march, which came to be known as the Bataan Death March. Here, one captured American, Leon Beck, recalls the nightmare. "They'd halt us in front of these big artesian wells so we could see the water, and they wouldn't let us have any. Anyone who would make a break for water would be shot or bayoneted." Then they were left there. Finally, it got so bad further along the road that you never got away from the stench of death. There were bodies laying all along the road in various degrees of decomposition. Swollen, burst open, maggots crawling by the thousands. Quoted in Death March, The Survivors of Bataan. Although the troops in the Bataan Peninsula surrendered, a small force held out on the island of Corregidor in Manila Bay. Finally, in May 1942, Corregidor surrendered. The Philippines had fallen. The Doolittle Raid. Even before the fall of the Philippines, President Roosevelt was searching for a way to raise the morale of the American people. He wanted to bomb Tokyo, but American planes could reach Tokyo only if an aircraft carrier brought them close enough. Unfortunately, Japanese ships in the North Pacific prevented carriers from getting close enough to Japan to launch their short-range bombers. In early 1942, a military planner suggested replacing the carrier's usual short-range bombers with long-range B-25 bombers that could attack from farther away. Although B-25s could take off from a carrier, they could not land on its short deck. After attacking Japan, they would have to land in China. President Roosevelt put Lieutenant Colonel James Doolittle in command of the mission. At the end of March, a crane loaded 16 B-25s onto the aircraft carrier Hornet. The next day, the Hornet headed west across the Pacific. On April 18th, American bombs fell on Japan for the first time. A change in Japanese strategy. While Americans were overjoyed that the Air Force had finally struck back, Japanese leaders were aghast. Doolittle's bombs could have killed the Emperor. The Doolittle raid convinced Japanese leaders to change their strategy. Before the raid, the Japanese Navy had been arguing about what to do next. The officers in charge of the Navy's planning wanted to cut American supply lines to Australia by capturing the south coast of New Guinea. The commander of the fleet, Admiral Yamamoto, wanted to attack Midway Island, the last American base in the North Pacific west of Hawaii. Yamamoto believed that attacking Midway would lure the American fleet into battle and enable his fleet to destroy it. After Doolittle's raid, the planners dropped their opposition to Yamamoto's plan. The American fleet had to be destroyed in order to protect Tokyo from bombing. The attack on New Guinea would still go ahead, but only three aircraft carriers were assigned to the mission. All of the other carriers were ordered to prepare for an assault on Midway. The Battle of the Coral Sea. The Japanese believed that they could proceed with two different attacks. They thought the United States was unaware of Japan's activity and would not be able to respond in time. Japan did not know that an American team of codebreakers based in Hawaii had already broken the Japanese Navy's secret code for conducting operations. In March 1942, decoded Japanese messages alerted the United States to the Japanese attack on New Guinea. In response, Admiral Nimitz set two carriers, the Yorktown and the Lexington, to intercept the Japanese in the Coral Sea. There, in early May, carriers from both sides launched all-out airstrikes against each other. Although the Japanese sank the Lexington and badly damaged the Yorktown, the American attacks forced the Japanese to call off their landing on the south coast of New Guinea. The American supply lines to Australia stayed open. Turning point. The Battle of Midway. Back at Pearl Harbor, the code-breaking team that had alerted Nimitz to the attack on New Guinea now learned of the plan to attack Midway. With so many ships at sea, Admiral Yamamoto transmitted the plans for the Midway attack by radio, using the same code the Americans had already cracked. Admiral Nimitz had been waiting for the opportunity to ambush the Japanese fleet. He immediately ordered carriers to take up positions near Midway. Unaware they were heading into an ambush, the Japanese launched their aircraft against Midway on June 4, 1942. The island was ready. The Japanese planes ran into a blizzard of anti-aircraft fire, and 38 of them were shot down. As the Japanese prepared a second wave to attack Midway, aircraft from the American carriers Hornet, Yorktown, and Enterprise launched a counterattack. The American planes caught the Japanese carriers with fuel, bombs, and aircraft exposed on their flight decks. Within minutes, three Japanese carriers were reduced to burning wrecks. A fourth was sunk a few hours later. By nightfall, it was apparent that the Americans had dealt the Japanese Navy a deadly blow. Admiral Yamamoto ordered his remaining ships to retreat. The Battle of Midway was a turning point in the war. The Japanese Navy lost four of its largest carriers, the heart of its fleet. Just 6 months after Pearl Harbor, the United States had stopped the Japanese advance in the Pacific. As Admiral Ernest King, the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Navy, later observed, Midway put an end to the long period of Japanese offensive action. The victory was not without cost, however. The battle killed 362 Americans and 3,057 Japanese. Afterward, one naval officer wrote to his wife, "Let no one tell you or let you believe that this war is anything other than a grim, terrible business." Reading check. Explaining. Why was the Battle of Midway considered a turning point? Turning back the German army. In 1942, Allied forces began to win victories in Europe as well. Almost from the moment the United States entered the war, Joseph Stalin, the leader of the Soviet Union, urged President Roosevelt to open a second front in Europe. Stalin appreciated the lend-lease supplies that the United States had sent, but the Soviet people were still doing most of the fighting. If British and American troops opened a second front by attacking Germany from the west, it would take pressure off the Soviet Union. Roosevelt wanted to get American troops into battle in Europe, but Prime Minister Churchill urged caution. He did not believe the United States and Great Britain were ready to launch a full-scale invasion of Europe. Instead, Churchill wanted to attack the periphery, or edges, of the German Empire. Roosevelt agreed, and in July 1942, he ordered the invasion of Morocco and Algeria, two French territories indirectly under German control. The struggle for North Africa. Roosevelt decided to invade Morocco and Algeria for two reasons. First, the invasion would give the army some experience without requiring a lot of troops. More importantly, once American troops were in North Africa, they would be able to help British troops fighting the Germans in Egypt. Egypt was very important to Britain because of the Suez Canal. Most of Britain's empire, including India, Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaya, and Australia, used the canal to send supplies to Britain. The German forces in the area, known as the Africa Corps, were commanded by General Erwin Rommel, a brilliant leader whose success earned him the nickname Desert Fox. The British forced Rommel to retreat at the Battle of El Alamein, but his forces remained a serious threat. On November 8, 1942, the American invasion of North Africa began under the command of General Dwight D. Eisenhower. The American forces in Morocco, led by General George Patton, quickly captured the city of Casablanca, while those in Algeria seized the cities of Oran and Algiers. The Americans then headed east into Tunisia, while British forces headed west into Libya. The plan was to trap Rommel between the two Allied forces. When the American troops advanced into the mountains of western Tunisia, they had to fight the German army for the first time. They did not do well. At the Battle of Kasserine Pass, the Americans were outmaneuvered and outfought. They suffered roughly 7,000 casualties and lost nearly 200 tanks. Eisenhower fired the general who led the attack and put Patton in command. Together, the American and British forces finally pushed the Germans back. On May 13, 1943, the last German forces in North Africa surrendered. The Battle of the Atlantic. As American and British troops fought the German army in North Africa, the war against German submarines in the Atlantic Ocean continued to intensify. After Germany declared war on the United States, German submarines entered American coastal waters. They found American cargo ships to be easy targets, especially at night when the glow from the cities in the night sky silhouetted the vessels. To protect the ships, cities on the East Coast dimmed their lights every evening. People also put up special blackout curtains and drove with their headlights off. By August 1942, German submarines had sunk about 360 American ships along the American coast. So many oil tankers were sunk that gasoline and fuel oil had to be rationed. To keep oil flowing, the government built the first long-distance oil pipeline, stretching some 1,250 miles, or 2,010 kilometers, from the Texas oil fields to Pennsylvania. The loss of so many ships convinced the U.S. Navy to set up a convoy system. Under this system, cargo ships traveled in groups and were escorted by Navy warships. The convoy system improved the situation dramatically. It made it much harder for a submarine to torpedo a cargo ship and escape without being attacked. The spring of 1942 marked the high point of the German submarine campaign. In May and June alone, over 1.2 million tons of shipping were sunk. Yet in those same 2 months, American and British shipyards built over 1.1 million tons of new shipping. From July 1942 onward, American shipyards produced more ships than German submarines managed to sink. At the same time, American airplanes and warships began to use new technology, including radar, sonar, and depth charges to locate and attack submarines. As the new technology began to take its toll on German submarines, the Battle of the Atlantic slowly turned in favor of the Allies. Turning point. Stalingrad. In the spring of 1942, before the Battle of the Atlantic turned against Germany, Adolf Hitler was very confident he would win the war. Rommel's troops were pushing the British back in Egypt, German submarines were sinking American ships rapidly, and the German army was ready to launch a new offensive to knock the Soviets out of the war. Hitler was convinced that the only way to defeat the Soviet Union was to destroy its economy. In May 1942, he ordered his army to capture strategic oil fields, industries, and farmlands in southern Russia and Ukraine. The key to the attack was the city of Stalingrad. The city controlled the Volga River and was a major railroad junction. If the German army captured Stalingrad, the Soviets would be cut off from the resources they needed to stay in the war. When German troops entered Stalingrad in mid-September, Stalin ordered his troops to hold the city at all cost. Retreat was forbidden. The Germans were forced to fight from house to house, losing thousands of soldiers in the process. On November 23rd, Soviet reinforcements arrived and surrounded Stalingrad, trapping almost 250,000 German troops. When the battle ended, 91,000 Germans had surrendered, although only 5,000 of them survived the Soviet prison camps and returned home after the war. The Battle of Stalingrad was a major turning point in the war, just as the Battle of Midway put the Japanese on the defensive for the rest of the war. The Battle of Stalingrad put the Germans on the defensive as well. Reading check. Evaluating. What did the Allies do to win the Battle of the Atlantic? Social Studies Skill Builder. Reading a thematic map. Why learn this skill? In your study of American history, you will often encounter thematic maps. Knowing how to read a thematic map will help you get more out of it. Learning the skill. Military maps use colors, symbols, and arrows to show major battles, troop movements, and defensive positions during a particular battle or over a period of time. When reading a military map, follow these steps. Read the map title. This will indicate the location and time period covered on the map. Read the map key. This tells what the symbols on the map represent. For example, battle sites may be indicated by crossed swords or burst shells. Study the map itself. This will reveal the actual event or sequence of events that took place. Notice the geography of the area and try to determine how it could affect military strategy. Use the map to draw conclusions. Practicing the skill. The map on this page shows troop movements in the Philippines from December 1941 to May 1942. Analyze the information on the map, then answer the following questions. 1. What part of the world does the map show? 2. When did MacArthur leave for Australia? What information on the map shows you this? 3. Where did the Japanese imprison the survivors of the Bataan Death March? 4. What geographic features did the Japanese encounter on the Bataan Peninsula? Applying the skill. Reading a thematic map. Study the map of the Battle of Midway. Use the information on the map to answer the following questions. 1. When was the battle fought? 2. What American aircraft carriers took part in the battle? 3. What was the fate of the Hiryu? Glencoe's Skill Builder Interactive Workbook CD-ROM Level 2 provides instruction and practice in key social studies skills.